America, and welcome to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. Happy Monday. How is everybody doing? How's Manoush doing? That's really what I want to know. We're going to hear from Manoush today. We have a clip, and we're going to hear from her. There's a couple others. We're going to hear from one of the students, and this is going to make you laugh. We're going to hear from one of the Palestinian encampment anti-Israel protesting students, and we're going to listen to some of her demands. And I'm telling you what, it is beyond funny. And this is who we're dealing with, though. We're not dealing with serious people. We are dealing with students who don't know what they're doing. There is a group of individuals out there who Lenin and his ilk referred to as useful idiots. And that's what's happening on college campuses all over the country. And I just have a pile of articles. I can tell you right now, we're not going to get through half of them. There's one here, though, that I do need to get at least touch on. And it's an article about how the feds knew what was coming. And but yet, what have they done to stop it? Absolutely nothing. They've not done a thing about it. That's what's come out of this, all of this explosion on campuses. There is a story that has come out of all of this that's really the true story. And I love it. The true story, and we're going to get to it before the day is over. The true story that's come out of this whole thing. And it's just going to make you proud. It is. Those of you listening to this program, those of you that listen to America Out Loud, the true story of all this, this campus unrest, it's going to make you proud. It's going to make you proud to be an American. Oh, I can't wait to get to it. I almost want to get to it now. But first, there's some other things about all this that we have to discuss. The first on the list is, but what's that? Oh no, we're gonna get to Manoush. You thought she was gonna be first? No, she's not first. But we're gonna patience, my friends. We are gonna get to the Manoush clip. Oh, you wanted to hear the student? Okay, well, all right. We're gonna get to her. We're gonna hear her. I promise you, we're gonna get to her. Should we get to her right now? Should we get to her right now? Okay, all right. I tell you what. Let's get to, you know, no, before we listen to her, I want to get to this article. The headline here is docs show federal agents monitored pro-anti-Israel protests. They've been monitoring this. They've been prepping for it. And they cited concerns that Yale is pro-Hamas. Here's a concern, my friends. And the concern is Yale is pro-Hamas. The article is by Spencer Lindquist. A trove of public documents revealed that the federal government has kept close tabs on pro and anti-Israel protests across the country and cited concerns that Yale University is pro-Hamas. The documents obtained and reported on by Bloomberg reveal that agents with the Federal Protective Services, a law enforcement agency under the purview of the Department of Homeland Security, closely surveilled the wave of protests that came in the wake of the war between Israel and Hamas on October 7. One October 13 email concerning a pro-Israel demonstration at Yale University cited concerns that the institution is pro-Hamas. The email from the FPS investigator explained that he had received a call from a United States Marshal informing him of a pro-Israel rally that was scheduled for the same day. I checked in with New Haven PD, the quote says, and received the same information and will be on the scene, his email reads. The inspector wrote, the concern is that Yale University is pro-Hamas. At this time, there is no credible threat. As more information comes in, I will advise. It is not clear if the FPS inspector was citing his own concerns, those of local authorities, or those of the protesters. The FPS monitored a number of different protests for and against Israel. A series of communications show that federal agents were worried that demonstrations could attract racially motivated violent extremists and become violent. On one occasion, agents warned a Biden administration official of demonstrations set to take place in October from the same two groups that led to the 50 arrests at the White House and shut down several entrances. These organizers keep rotating between USG locations, and the missile incident at the Gaza hospital has started inflaming tensions, obviously, the email read. So this is back from October. The communications came months before protests at universities across the country descended into violence. And we know that students at Columbia occupied a building on the campus and barricaded themselves in, and they had to be removed forcibly, by the NYPD. So months prior, officials from the, what's this department? It's the federal agency you've never heard of, the Federal Protective Service, a law enforcement agency under the purview of the Department of Homeland Security. So here they are. They've been checking this thing out. They've been monitoring the situation well since October. And they had fears that Yale was pro-Hamas. You think they had those same fears about Columbia and about other Ivy League universities, but we just haven't seen those emails yet. And yet they stood down. They haven't done a thing to stop it. The Biden administration has it's been vocal. It's complained a little bit here and there, but nothing has happened. Matter of fact, you know what the Biden DOJ is doing? Where's this article? I saw this. You guys are going to love this, by the way. Listen to this article. Here it is. This is from May 4th from the Epoch Times. Department of Education. No, I'm sorry. I thought this was the DOJ. This is not the DOJ. This is the Department of Education, still the Biden administration, nonetheless. The Department of Education opens probe into anti-Palestinian racism at Columbia. That's the probe. The Department of Education. Oh, yeah, these guys mean business. They mean business. They are probing into anti-Palestinian racism at Columbia while the Palestinians have taken over the campus. They've set up their tents, they've taken over buildings, but yet the Biden Department of Education is probing into anti-Palestinian racism. And that's really all that this administration's doing. I mean, the feds, not a thing. I mean, this is a big deal. This is, wouldn't you say this is a big story? Absolutely, it's a big story. They've been monitoring this, at least we know of, in one location since October. And they had to have known this was coming. You can't tell me they didn't know this wasn't coming. Yes, I believe they knew this was coming. And what have they done about it? They've done nothing. They've done zero, zilch, nada. As a matter of fact, they've just watched it unfold. They've absolutely watched it unfold while universities have buckled to demands. Now, we talked about Brown last week just crumbling. Brown just crumbled under the pressure. Here's another headline. Northwestern University caves to anti-Israel protesters, granting numerous demands. While many colleges that have been overtaken by anti-Israel demonstrators have begun cracking down on the encampments and violence, Northwestern University has instead caved. They've decided, let's do the exact opposite as others and let's cave. I wouldn't say the exact opposite as others because some of them are caving. In a document released last Tuesday, Northwestern has vowed to make concessions to protesters, including, okay, are you ready? Okay, you're gonna want to sit down for this. Listen, if you have students that go to Northwestern, if you have children that are in Northwestern, if you are an alum of Northwestern, definitely take a seat for this. All right, the document released said that Northwestern's vowed to make concessions, including five full ride scholarships for Palestinian students and funding two Palestinian faculty members for 2 years. That was part of their concession, that they're going to give away five full ride scholarships to students who are Palestinian. No, because this encampment's never going to end at Northwestern. Once they realize that they're getting the gold, why leave? The university also said it would commit to fundraise to sustain this program beyond this current commitment. And there it is. Who are you going to fundraise to? Who is going to donate money to this endeavor? Because whoever these people are, they need to be banned from the country. Is it George Soros? Is that who you're gonna fundraise with? Is George Soros and his minions? The university will also provide immediate temporary space for Middle East and North Africa Muslim students. Following that, Northwestern said it plans to provide and renovate a house for these students. What? We're just going to give them a house. We're going to throw out full ride scholarships. We're going to fund Palestinian faculty. Matter of fact, we're going to give these kids a place to live. We're going to give them a house as soon as practicably possible, the university has said. As soon as it's practical, we're going to give them a house. After it finishes its current renovation project slated for completion in 2026. Oh, there it is. But it's not going to come for another 2 years. And by then we're hoping all of this is gone. By then we're hoping the memory of this day is history. You know what? It's not going to be. You're doling out all these goodies. These kids aren't going anywhere. Oh, but wait. Okay, here it is. The university will include a Jewish student in a quote process dedicated to ensuring additional support for Jewish and Muslim students. A Jewish student? Oh boy. No, I'm sorry. The university will include Jewish students, plural. Okay, so more than one student. And while the university did not say it would divest from Israel companies, it did say it would reestablish its advisory committee on investment responsibility, allowing students, faculty, and staff a say in how the school invests its endowment, opening a door for those who want to divest from Israel. Oh, Northwestern, you are opening the door, all right. You are opening a door to this thing never ending. Absolutely never ending. That's what you're doing. Northwestern also blamed the anti-Semitism and anti-Palestinian incident on people not affiliated with the university, and said any members of the community who can be identified participating in such acts will face disciplinary action. Well, so why are you making these demands and these concessions if you are fully aware that participants are not students or staff members? Is anybody asking that? Why is Northwestern bending the knee to this group when they don't believe this group is that they believe it could be made up of individuals who are not students or who have any affiliation with the university? Who's in charge over there at Northwestern? Because they need some help. Whoever is running the show at Northwestern, I mean, it's probably the same people that are in not the same people in the federal government, but they're cut from the same bolt of cloth, the same ilk. They just speak out of both sides of their mouths and then without actually doing anything at all whatsoever. Okay, but this isn't even the real story here. I know this is the story that's taking the headlines. It's not the real story. I mean, the real story is coming, but we're going to dive into the true, the meaningful, the story that is coming to the surface of all of this. And I think you know what it is. I mean, you do. I know you do. If you listen to this show, you know what the true story is. And we're gonna get into it. But before we do, and I'm coming up on the break, so I don't want to dive into the Manoush clip just yet, because I don't have enough time. I don't want to dive into the student clip. We'll do that on the other side. Let's do that on the other side of this break. We'll pause here. You're listening to the Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop. That's AmericaOutLoud.shop. And use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients. Global Healing's pure plant protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion, and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with pure plant protein. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us today. No matter how you are listening, we are happy that you are out there. And we're happy that you're just a proud American, because the chances are great. Aren't they great that if people are listening here to America Out Loud, that they're a proud American? Yes, the chances are very great. Unless you're a troll, which you might be. You know, you might just be trolling. But otherwise, you're a proud American. And congratulations on being one of the smart ones. We are happy, happy, happy to have you on board. All right, so let's dive back into this. I talked in the last segment about hearing a clip from Manoush. We're going to do that. But first, we need to hear a clip from one of the students. This is... Maybe you heard this. You might have heard this girl speak. This might be one of the most hilarious things I've ever heard. She, my friends, I don't know her name. Just the article that I have, where is it? I've got a bajillion articles around here. I mean, literally, this desk is just, it's just covered in papers. But, I mean, that's all right. It just says she's a female PhD student. That's it. I don't have a name. I'm sure we can probably get a name. I just don't have a name in front of me. So at Columbia, we're talking about the radicals who took over the campus building, Hamilton Hall, and they covered it in communist symbols. Okay, this is in America. This is an American campus. And radical students broke into a building on campus, Hamilton Hall. I wonder if it was named after Alexander. Broke into the building and covered it in communist symbols. And then she makes demands. It's like is this a hostage negotiation? Is she going to demand $1 million in a helicopter to land on the helipad on top of Hamilton Hall so they can leave with their $1 million? What's going on here? This is so funny, her demands. Okay, let's take a listen to the PhD student. And that's the other thing. She is getting her doctorate in philosophy. Huh. Okay, we don't have to listen very long to understand what her philosophy is. All right, let's take a listen.
I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
Yeah. So there it is. Can we just have a glass of water? I mean, we just need a glass of water. That's all. That's all. We want basic humanitarian aid. She's a PhD student, and she's part of a group of radical students who broke into Hamilton Hall, and now they're demanding beverages. It's humanitarian aid. We need a glass of water. Humanitarian aid. It's crazy to think that this is an Ivy League campus, so we have to ask for humanitarian aid? Is there not a drinking fountain in Hamilton Hall? Is there not a bathroom with a sink? Can't you go get some water? You have to have somebody from the university bring you a glass of water? That's what you're asking for? You cannot tell me Hamilton Hall doesn't have a drinking fountain. Really? This is your demand? We demand water. We demand humanitarian aid. And so at one point, this reporter says to her, it seems like you're saying we want to be revolutionaries. We want to take over this building. Now, would you please bring us some food? Now, are you going to feed us? At one point in this little presser, she says, yes, at the university, it's their responsibility to feed students that have a meal plan. What? You want us to list all the students that are in there and find out which one of you have a meal plan? And then you want us to bring you food? Is it the university's responsibility to bring food to every student that has a meal plan? All right, so let's say a student has a meal plan, but they don't go to the cafeteria that day. They stay in their dorm. Does the university have somebody with a list? And then, oh, so-and-so didn't come to the cafeteria. I better take them their meal. Because they bought a meal plan. No, PhD student, it doesn't work out like that. You bought the meal plan, you show up to the cafeteria. If you don't show up to the cafeteria, guess what? Sorry, you don't get any food that day. Crybabies, sniveling, whiny, and this is a PhD student. Yes, I know, a PhD student. You're all shaking your heads in disbelief. Believe it, because she's probably a communist. And, you know, as communists, they demand things that don't belong to them. Well, I don't know. Maybe she did have a meal plan, and I guess maybe the meal plan belongs to her. But if you're not going to go to the cafeteria and get your own food, then no, it's no one else's responsibility to bring you your lunch, you sniveling, whiny, crybaby PhD student. Yeah, you're just so NYPD. They go in, they finally go in and they clean house. And I talked about this last week where the NYPD officer says there were commercialized chains on these doors. I mean, this was the real deal. That means students don't bring these types of chains to school. Okay, they're not using these types of chains to padlock their lockers, all right, or to lock their bike against the bike rack. This is industrial strength here, kids. This is the real deal. These are professionals. These are people here not messing around. They're not messing around. They are blooming professionals. That's the name of the game. So let's take a listen to Rafiq. All right. Is that our name? Rafiq? Manoush Rafiq. I always want to say Rafiki, but you know, can't say that. But all right, Manoush. Let's listen to her comments after she has toured the building there that they completely overran.
These past 2 weeks have been among the most difficult in Colombia's history. The turmoil and tension, division and disruption have impacted the entire community. You, our students, have paid an especially high price. For those of you who are seniors, you're finishing college the way you started, online. We tried very hard to resolve the issue of the encampment through dialogue. Academic leaders talked with students for 8 days and nights. The university made a sincere and good offer, but it was not accepted. A group of protesters crossed a new line with the occupation of Hamilton Hall. It was a violent act that put our students at risk, as well as putting the protesters at risk. I walked through the building and saw the damage, which was distressing.
She walked through the building. She saw the damage. It was distressing, she said. So I wonder, are these students, are they going to be made to pay for the damage that they caused? I mean, these students that demanded they receive their meals because apparently some of them have a meal plan. You know, this PhD student who demanded a glass of water. It's just basic humanitarian aid. I can't believe I'm on an Ivy League campus and I'm not given basic humanitarian aid. And Manoush says she walked through the building. She saw the damage and it was distressing. These kids, she said, crossed a line. These protesters that occupied Hamilton Hall, they stepped over it. Later on, I didn't include this in the clip, but later on she says that they do believe that the group that broke into the building, that the group did include students, but it was led by individuals not affiliated with the campus, with the university. Individuals, by definition, then, who are not students or professors. Uh-huh. Yeah. And you know, we talked about this last week, that New York City believed that there was the wife of a known terrorist hanging out there on campus. And come on, you know, she wasn't the only one. I mean, she's not the only connection to a known terrorist. The other thing that's interesting here, you know, she talks about the past 2 weeks being among the most difficult in Colombia history. She mentions the turmoil, the tension, the division, the disruption. You know, she acknowledges all that. She doesn't acknowledge that her decisions could have put this thing down a long time ago. I mean, she doesn't, you know, she's not taking any blame here at all. She's not taking any responsibility. She says, we tried very hard to resolve the issue of the encampment. You know, we made a very generous offer, but it wasn't accepted. Who knows what that offer was? I mean, who knows? Maybe it was free tuition, you know, for 10 years. Maybe it was similar to what Northwestern said. You know, what did I say? Northwestern said they were giving full ride scholarships. They were going to give away 5 full ride scholarships to Palestinian students. Oh, and they also said they would commit to fundraise to sustain this program years beyond its commitment. So what are you going to, give full ride scholarships now in into perpetuity? I mean, forever? What does this even mean? And we're also going to fund 2 Palestinian faculty members. Yes, that's right. And the beauty of it is we're going to provide immediate temporary housing. That's right. Yeah, we're going to renovate a house for these students. So, I wonder what Columbia offered. I mean, obviously, the protesters want these universities to divest. They want them to divest from Israel, not, so their endowments are not involved in companies that are Israeli, I guess, ultimately. And Northwestern said, yeah, we'll talk about that. I mean, we'll look at it. But in the meantime, here's what we're going to do for you guys. Yeah, because you're destroying the place. We're going to give you free housing. Free housing. Oh, we're going to give you free tuition. Yeah, we're going to let you pick the terrorist professor of your choice. So I'm just curious. I'm wondering what Manoush offered these kids that they turned down. Yeah, I mean, maybe she needs to take a page from the playbook of Northwestern and offer them free tuition. I mean, why not? But the thing that's interesting here is, she laments the seniors who started the year online, and now they're going to finish it online. Think about this. These seniors, the class of 2024, they were the class of 2020. They were the high school class of 2020. They had their graduation ceremonies canceled because of a lab in Wuhan, China. Yeah, because of a lab, because of Dr. Fauci in a lab. High school graduations were canceled. I mean, we postponed ours. We didn't have our graduation until August. We brought that class back and we said we will do a commencement, and we gave them a commencement. But think about it. These kids did not have a graduation in 2020. And if they went to Columbia, now they don't get a graduation here because Manoush has canceled it and everything's online. I don't know if she's canceled the graduation, but everything's online. All learning went online because she refused to shut this thing down. And so, now she's saying, oh, I'm sorry to these seniors. They started online because when they started at Columbia in the fall of 2020, they were online as freshmen. And now here they are as seniors and they're ending it online. No face-to-face, no in-class, because some sniveling, whiny, crybaby communist PhD student wants to storm Hamilton Hall and demand that she should still get her meal plan. Demand that the meal plan be delivered. It's basic humanitarian aid. Oh, I can't even st I can't. I just oh, I don't even know what to do about it. I'm serious. That just makes me crazy. Just drives me bonkers. I'm looking at another article here by our friend Luke Rosiak. And he says universities made oppression scholars their presidents. Now students feel oppressed. Yep, all these universities decided to choose from their pool of people to make presidents. Let's choose from the oppression scholar pool. That's what we need to do. And now the students feel oppressed. Universities, here's how the article starts out. Rosiak says universities that selected presidents with academic track records that consist largely of political screeds about oppression are now melting down because of students who say they're oppressed. Oh, this is rich. Yeah, how rich is this? And this is from a review of academic papers. He's looked, I mean, Rosiak is great. This dude does his homework. Oh, I got to get Rosiak on the show because he's good. Okay, he says at UCLA, Provost Darnell Hunt donned a mask and sat on the ground with protesters who told him that police are on the side of Zionists and that police are going to commit brutality against them. After he said he had to go, they screamed shame, shame, shame at him. But here's the interesting part. Hunt made his career opining on police brutality and racism in the aftermath of riots triggered by purported brutality against Rodney King, writing a book called Screening the Los Angeles Riots, Race, Seeing, and Resistance. And now here he is with students protesting at his campus and taking a page from his own playbook. The titles of his academic papers give an idea of his area of expertise. And so this is where Rosiak's done the heavy lifting in terms of his homework here. And he's pulled up Darnell Hunt's academic papers. Reclaiming UCLA, lamenting that a county that is 9.8% African-American now has a lower percentage of Black freshmen than either crosstown rival USC or UC Berkeley. Second paper, Channeling Blackness, Studies on Television and Race in America. Third paper, Birth of a Nationhood, Gaze, Script, and Spectacle in the O.J. Simpson Case. And now here he is. He's just kind of reaping a crop from seeds that he has sown. I mean, he's got these students here saying the same thing about him. I mean, that's just the irony of it. Sacramento State President Luke Wood went back on a threat to remove an anti-Israel encampment, instead allowing them to remain indefinitely, according to Rosiak. Wood has made his career writing about student activism and the oppression of Blacks, authoring the book, The Sources of American Student Activism. And now here he's got a campus full of student activists. Some of his papers include Political Consciousness and Student Activism, Race Lighting, Black, Indigenous, and People of Color in Education, Treat Them Like Human Beings, Black Children's Experiences with Racial Microaggression in Early Childhood Education. And then it just goes on and on and on. Again, examples of Mr. Wood reaping a harvest from the seeds he has sown. Rosiak continues, the review suggests that the unrest on college campuses is not the result of a small subversive faction, but rather one in line with the ideology of those at the highest ranks of the institutions. The paper is focused heavily on social sciences, also raise questions about the real-world utility of the work of those at even the highest levels of academia. At Rutgers University, an anti-Semitic protester told a Jewish student that, quote, Hitler would have loved you. Rutgers leadership went on to give in to many of the protesters' demands, such as agreeing to develop a plan for the creation of an Arab cultural center with designated physical space and a hiring plan for administrators and staff to develop training sessions on anti-Palestinian, anti-Arab, anti-Muslim racism for all Rutgers University administrators and staff. Meanwhile, Rutgers President Jonathan Holloway, a former professor of African American studies at Yale, has contributed to the academic world through papers such as Race, Slavery, and Ideology in Colonial North America, Resistance and African American Identity Before the Civil War, The Black Body as Archive of Memory, which considers the film Shaft and how it was from beginning to end, one extended middle finger to white America. And then also How to Read the Souls of Black Folk in a Post-Racial Age. And he goes on. He mentions various university presidents and discusses the papers that these individuals have written, and how it's all about oppression, oppression, oppression. And now these individuals are spearheading college campuses with students that are screaming out to these presidents that they're oppressed. And it's not the oppression that the presidents thought was going to come their way. I'm telling you, friends, what goes around comes around. The seeds you sow, you will harvest. You will absolutely harvest them. All right. But this is not even the real truth of the story. The beautiful things that are coming out of this whole college campus eruption, implosion, whatever you want to call it, is the true story is one of pro-America. It's one of love for America. We're gonna get to that. We're gonna pick it up on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. Now, before we dive headlong into the actual news, the actual good news that has come from these protests, and there's two parts to it. There's part A and there's part B. And in my opinion, both parts are pretty decent. I mean, they are. They're just equally good. Equally good. All right. But before we dive into it, I want to offer my congratulations to the Waterbrook girls softball team on their doubleheader victory last week against Dryden. This team is showing up at places and they're getting it done. They're shocking other schools. When we walk in, when we show up at the diamond, we're small. You know what? To look at us, we're not this impressive group that comes rolling in. But when those girls hit the diamond and they play the way they play, and when they leave, the other team's like, holy cow, what just ran over us? So congratulations to the girls softball team on their continued run this season. They're really having a good season. Also, I want to congratulate Mrs. Lentini and the mock trial competition that we entered the mock trial competition of Genesee County for the first time ever. Mrs. Lentini took a group of kids over there and they walked into the courtroom. And again, same thing, you know, the other schools were overheard. Oh, it's little Waterbrook. You don't have to worry about them. They have less than 100 students, which I guess it's not wrong. I mean, our high school is less than 100 students. But I don't know that they were referring to, I don't know what they were, what their reference to was, but their point was, you don't have to worry about them. This is their first time in the competition. They're little. We're going to mop the floor with these guys. And our kids just went in there and just slapped them around. I mean, now, I had one of the parents say to me, look, the other schools, they were prepared. And you could tell they were perhaps more prepared than us. But, you know, they've been doing this. They've got a group of kids that this is what they planned for 3 months. You know, they have a law class and they plan for this mock trial for 3 months. This team from Lake Fenton, the team that we ended up going up against. And at the end of the day, though, were you victorious in the trial? We were the defense, and the jury stood up and said, not guilty on all counts. Victory goes to Waterbrook. And the look on the opposing team's faces after commenting, don't worry about little old Waterbrook. They're nothing. And then we just show up, and little old Waterbrook gets it done. Little old Waterbrook goes in and cleans house. So congratulations to Mrs. Lentini. That had to feel good. Very first time ever us competing in this competition. And Mrs. Lentini took the kids over there. She got them prepped. And so congratulations to her and the kids on this this accomplishment. I love it. I do. I love that we are still, we're young enough that we're still experiencing firsts, and we're getting it done. That's all I can say about it, is we're getting it done. It is proof, my friends, that you do not need millions of dollars to accomplish things. No, you don't. You need a good curriculum, and you need people that are passionate and want to deliver that curriculum. I would say a classical education. That is, you've heard me say this here time and time again, a classical education is what gets it done. It's what we believe in, and it's what we're about. So congratulations to Waterbrook on your successes last week. All right, speaking of successes, let's get into the true story of what's happening here on these campuses. And as I said, it's two parts. Part A is some of the Democrats are, and these are Democrats that I disagree with, I would say 100% of the time, except on matters like this, when their eyes open and they start saying things that feels conservative. They start saying things that becomes pro-America. They start saying things that are America first. It's almost as if Mayor Adams out of New York City is a member of the MAGA party. When you get done listening to this clip that I'm going to play for you, I feel like he is an America first MAGA man. Now we know he's not, but it is, how can I say this? It's heartening. It brings, encouragement maybe. I don't know what the word is. It makes me feel good to know that while his policies are, in many cases, are screwy, yet I believe that he loves the country. I mean, listening to him, well, you know what? I'm going to let you be the judge. So Adams is giving this press conference, and he's talking about how they believe that there are people on these college campuses that are not students. They're actual professional agitators. He says that when authorities went into Columbia specifically, they were attempting to distinguish between who were actually students and who are not supposed to be on the grounds. He said there were individuals on the campus who should not have been there. They were people who are professionals, and we saw evidence of training, he said. I know that there are those who are saying, well, the majority of the people may have been students. But Adam says, you don't have to be the majority to influence and co-op an operation. And that's what this is about. He says, this is about a minority coming in and influencing the operation. And then he says two things. The first thing, I'm going to read to you because I don't have the clip of it. The first thing he says is, this is a global problem that young people are being influenced by those who are professionals at radicalizing our children. And I'm not going to allow it to happen as the mayor of New York City, he added. Now, that to me is what I want to hear. That's the kind of language I want to hear come out of Mayor Adams. That this is a global problem. Young people are being influenced by those who are professionals at radicalizing our children, and I'm not going to allow it. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what he means by this. And, maybe he's just biding his time. But what I would like to see is he willing to put the put his money where his mouth is and say no to critical race theory, because that's where true radicalization is happening. It's happening in our K-12. Now, he's making reference to these professional agitators coming into college campuses, and he's upset about that. All right, great. I'm glad you're upset about that. Let's take your anger and let's dial it down into K-12. And let's see, are you willing to put a stop to the critical race theory Marxism that is radicalizing K-12? So when they get to college, they're like, yeah, let's go. Okay, that's what we want to see. All right, so that's the first thing he said that I like. The second thing is in reference to the American flag. So let's take a listen.
That's our flag, folks. Don't take over our buildings and put another flag up. That may be fine to other people, but it's not to me. My uncle died defending this country, and these men and women put their lives on the line. And it's despicable that schools will allow another country flag to fly in our country. So blame me for being proud to be an American. And I thank Commissioner Daughtry for putting that flag back up. We're not surrendering our way of life to anyone.
I like this. It seems like it's MAGA to me. It feels like he's pro-America. Now, I think he's making reference to City College in New York, where they hoisted up the Palestinian flag. And he's congratulating police commissioner Daughtry for making sure that Palestinian flag came down and the American flag went back up. And he says, my uncle died for this country. And how dare a college allow the flag of another country to be flown on their campus? How dare they? This is the other good thing that's coming out of this, is the swell of patriotism. And it is, my friends, it's a swell of patriotism. People are college campuses. So this article right here says it's trending. Patriotic students drowned out pro-Hamas anti-American activists. And they start listing, you know, various campuses. On Friday, the latest iteration of patriotic students standing up for America and confronting the pro-Hamas anti-American activists on college campuses occurred at Louisiana State. The counter-protesters chanted USA to drown out the anti-American pro-Hamas activists. So now the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian activists are not only anti-Israel, but they're revealing their true colors to be anti-American. The trend of patriotic students, the article continues, confronting the activists has burgeoned at universities in southern states. On Thursday, a group of students at the University of Mississippi belted out the Star-Spangled Banner, drowning out the chanting and shouting of pro-Hamas protesters on their campus. In a video posted to X on Tuesday, a number of students could be heard singing the national anthem at the top of their lungs, while the shouts of nearby protesters, several of whom carried large Palestinian flags, were completely overpowered. You'll love to see it. On Wednesday, students chanted USA, USA, at the University of Alabama to drown out the pro-Hamas anti-American activists. But here's the kicker, and this is what got this whole thing going. On North Carolina's Chapel Hill campus, a group of fraternity boys fought back when anti-Israel protesters attempted to replace an American flag with a Palestinian flag. They stepped in and kept the American flag from touching the ground, even as the protesters surrounded them and hurled insults, water, and other objects their way. A GoFundMe was set up to fund a rager for the UNC fraternity boys. Pi Kappa Phi member Guillermo Estrada explained, "My fraternity brother and others ran over to hold it up in order for it not to touch the ground. People began throwing water bottles at us, rocks, sticks, calling us profane names. We stood for an hour defending the flag. So many fight to protect." And this is what is exciting to me, is patriotism rising in the hearts of students. And then the Trump team put this clip together.
While campuses struggle to get control of their students, at UNC Chapel Hill, they are bringing order back. Students restoring the American flag and singing the national anthem.
Protesters began to take down the American flag, and that's when the guys stepped in.
Patriotic fraternity brothers stepped in and said, "Not today, Hamas."
The group of frat brothers defended the American flag from anti-Israel protesters.
I held the Israeli flag and they held up the American flag while protesters chanted at us, screamed at us. I was told to kill myself about 50 times, called a white supremacist, a fascist.
They protected the flag for an hour. They were pelted with bottles and rocks,
but they stood strong.
I think the most popular college students right now are the ones at UNC.
God bless those UNC frat guys for taking down the Palestinian flag and putting up Old Glory.
Giving us some hope there that not all college students have gone woke.
They should be celebrated for, and what be might more rare is their bravery, their willingness to stand up and exhibit that patriotism and protect America.
All is not lost. In every corner of America, there are many people that love this country.
I'm very proud of these boys and very, very proud that we have parents that are raising good kids like this in our country.
I love America. There are still patriots in this country that actually want to fight and would, you know, sacrifice themselves for this flag, this country.
It's good to know that there's some patriotic young men out there supporting the flag still out there.
Don't bend a knee to these people.
Oh, you absolutely love to see it. Now, here's the thing, as we've been saying, you know, Mnuchin and these other college presidents, they need to put a stop to this. They need to, you know, why aren't they doing enough to quell this? But this right here, when you see other students rise up, you know, they're looking around, they're wondering, are their presidents going to do anything about it? Are teachers, are professors going to stand up? And if no one is going to take a stand, then by golly, we're going to. And these frat boys rush to the aid of Old Glory, making sure she doesn't touch the ground, and stand around her for an hour while these anti-American Hamas-loving terrorists are throwing things at them. This is the true story right here, is that when push comes to shove, patriotism will rise on these college campuses. These kids are normally going to be quiet. They're going to go about their business. Freedom-loving Americans are going to be quiet, and they're going to go about their business. But by golly, when you continue to hurl insults at the country, at our flag, we're going to stand up and we're going to do something about it. Love these boys. Love the patriotism that is spreading across college campuses. This is the good news, my friends. We're going to keep it up. All right. That's all the time we have for today, America. Thank you for joining me. Encourage your friends and family to get on the Dean's List. Let's unite to renovate the age.